Hi, and welcome back to Conversations with Chrissy. So glad to have you. Today, we're talking about some very important topics related to highway safety, law enforcement, and community engagement. And I'm really pleased to have a special guest with us today. Joining us is Colonel Joseph F. Scott, Chief of Police for the Maryland Transportation Authority, who's going to discuss some critical traffic safety issues and impacts for Maryland drivers. Thanks so much, Colonel, for joining me.
Chrissy, thank you for inviting me here, and it's my honor.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, it is always so interesting to hear about people's career journey, and your journey is very impressive. So I wonder if you could share with your audience what has gotten you to this point in your career.
Oh, absolutely, Chrissy. So I'm a 25-year veteran of the Maryland Transportation Authority Police. Had some military experiences prior to that. And then I got out the military with an honorable discharge, and I've been a member of the agency since 2000. I was assigned or promoted to the chief of police of May of last year. So a little less than a year I've been in this position, and a year goes by quick, and you see a whole lot of things in a year's time. Unfortunately, at the tail end of, well, right after, before I got promoted, we had the catastrophic event with the Key Bridge. So that kind of changed some things, too. So it hasn't been normal since I've been appointed. Trust
me. I'm sure it hasn't. Well, first of all, thank you for your service with the military. We're certainly always grateful for that. And I'm sure that was good preparation for you going into law enforcement.
Oh, yeah. Military has a way of rounding you into shape.
I'm sure.
So, and then, of course, the discipline and sense of purpose. And I've always had a duty to serve, so I have a servant's heart, and to me, even in the position of chief of police, I'm just a servant.
I love that. That's how we feel, certainly here at MBA as well. And I know you mentioned the Key Bridge there at the end, and certainly I think everybody changed so greatly on that morning, and I give great respect to your officers who certainly made that quick judgment call that morning that saved so many lives, and the leadership that you showed after that incident and all your team members. So really grateful for that. I know as a state, we're all impacted by that event that day.
Without a doubt, Chrissy. And they did phenomenal. I don't think, you know, because they are who they are, servants, they shy away from all the high profile praise and all that. And they absolutely deserve it, because if you take a step back, the amount of lives that could have been lost, you have no way of measuring that. No way of measuring that. So they did a phenomenal job, and we give them their accolades every day. And I'm always big on giving people their flowers while they're here.
Mm-hmm. I very much agree with that, and so grateful that you do that. It's very important. So let's start and just talk a little bit about traffic safety and MDTA's role. Obviously, MBA as well plays a critical role in terms of trying to educate and license drivers. But can you give us an overview of what your department does related to highway safety?
Oh, absolutely. So you're aware of the Lieutenant Governor had a committee specifically dealing with work zone safety a little while, a year ago, and there was some legislation that came out of that. So we had two personnel on that committee that served in advisory capacity from a law enforcement perspective. So we did that. We constantly work with the Maryland Highway Safety Office. As you're aware, we had a conversation, I think, last December. And sometimes in life, you know, you can be a big part of something. People change positions, leave the agency. So as I came in, that was one of my focal points. So much so as 2025, we created what we call the seven pillars for 2025. And pillar number one is traffic safety.
Love it. That's great. It's absolutely at the core of everything we do. And so I know from a traveling public standpoint, they'll see your officers out on the roadways if maybe they're going through one of the bridges or one of our tunnels here in this area. Of course, in Montgomery County, we've got the ICC, which you patrol as well. Talk a little bit about what is life like for one of your officers? What are the challenges that they face every day? I think that perspective is probably interesting to the
public. Without a doubt. Absolutely, Chrissy. And MDTA Police, our mission is unique. Mm-hmm. When you look at police officers, law enforcement in general, you think of, you know, chasing bad guys through alleyways and the more community policing type thing. But because we on mostly highways, as well as the Port of Baltimore, BWI Airport, that's one of our areas of responsibility as well. We have a unique mission. If you go back to 9/11 and when that happened, that changed the world.
It did.
And the MDTA police, we're right on the forefront because we're responsible for critical infrastructure throughout the state of Maryland. Mm-hmm. So that put us on the forefront, and we had to be cutting edge in all the things that we do, the equipment we get, because we're responsible for securing some of the most critical infrastructure in the state of Maryland. And we take that very serious, from the Nice Bridge all the way up to the Hayden Bridge and in between. So we take that very serious, and traffic safety is the forefront of it's our bread and butter.
Mm-hmm. And another important connection, 9/11 changed MBA as well because of licensing provisions and procedures we use too. So just as it changed law enforcement, it also changed our processes in a way that I don't think anybody could expect it before that time.
Yes. Everyone knows where they were when.
That's right. Exactly. So from a driver perspective, what are some of the things that you'd recommend to drivers to be safe out on the road? And especially as you think about, you mentioned work zone safety, engagement with your officers who maybe are pulling somebody else over or helping somebody who's had an issue with their vehicle on the roadside. What are recommendations that common sense things that you would give to drivers as advice to do on the roads?
Pay attention. Don't be distracted.
Mm-hmm.
Park your cell phone. You want to get there safely.
That's right.
And then Maryland has a move over law. Mm-hmm. Pay attention to vehicles on the side of the road. You know, recently we it used to be just law enforcement, emergency vehicles. It got expanded to cars just stopped on the side of the road. Stop for whatever reason, and if in fact they have flashes on or flares that you're supposed to get over, even for them, why would you not get to your destination? It's all about getting to your destination. So we want you to get to your destination. And as the officers out and about, we are law enforcement officers, but a big part of what we do is education. So we like to do high visibility enforcement details. And when we do it, talk to the people. See, it's not always about giving people a citation. Sometimes it's about educating. And sometimes you come across people who did not know.
Right.
But as a driver, you have to be paying attention. Your speed is so important. Mm-hmm. There's speed limits for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
They gives you the ability. So if you think about it from this perspective, Chrissy, if a vehicle is going 60 miles an hour, it takes 240 feet for it to stop.
Mm-hmm.
If it's going 30 miles an hour, 75. It's a big difference if you just pay attention to what the speed limits are. Do not be distracted. And always, always, always pay attention to the road signs. They are going to be your roadmap to get you to where you are safely. So that's what I would say to drivers out there, man.
Well, thank you so much for those reminders. And you're right, we see it in crashes when people are going faster. The injuries and unfortunately fatalities is where you see it because that high rate of speed just has that correlation. Can you talk about what you're seeing in terms of trends out there? Is it speed? Is it distraction? What are your officers seeing most now? I know COVID changed things, right? We've talked about that a lot in the safety community. What are the trends now that you're seeing out on the roadways?
Yes, speed, distracted driving, without a doubt. They're the two biggies. As you refer to COVID, 2020, when we had the shutdown, we had everybody had to stay home. And from a police officer's perspective, because we, of course, emergency essential, we were out there every day. And you take this traffic that it decreased to about zero. And then as the things opened up, people came back on the roadways. But they came back onto the roadways with a sense of anger.
Mm.
A lot of road rage incidents. And we've been having to deal with that. And they've just been on an uptick in the last, especially the last 2 years. So these incidents have caused police officers to really stay on our toes because understanding people want to get to where they are, but they're doing it aggressively.
Mm-hmm.
Aggressively. And it's very, for us, you see it every day. So speed enforcement details, HVEs is something we do on a regular basis to try to slow people down. You cannot get there if you cannot get there.
Right.
And that's a reality. So that's the things we're doing, and officers have been doing a phenomenal job. Case in point, this St. Patrick's Day, we did a high visibility enforcement for an 8-hour block and stopped over 284 cars.
Mm.
And they're also contacts and abilities to educate the public. It's not always about giving a citation or a warning, but educating the public. So those are the things we've been doing to kind of bring the speeds down. And since the COVID in 2020, it was a big influx. Now we're trying to make sure we kind of get that under control.
Yeah, thanks for the partnership there. It's just so important to do those high visibility enforcement and traffic stops, even if it is just that education piece and not necessarily a citation. I know road rage, which you mentioned, is really a concern for drivers. If you're that driver who finds yourself confronted with, you know, somebody who's being incredibly aggressive on the roadways, what do you recommend from a law enforcement standpoint that that driver do?
First and foremost, stay calm. Mm-hmm. Do not engage or escalate the situation. And then look for a safe location to get off or call for help. Do not engage. And you know what? That's funny, Chrissy. Law enforcement is not exempt. I had an incident where I was coming back in my personal vehicle. Mm-hmm. From a soccer tournament with my son. And it was nighttime, and an individual rode up on the back of me. He was so close to me, I couldn't even see his headlights. Mm. And by the time I looked up to figure out what was going on, he had went around me, got in front of me, slammed on his brakes. I almost hit him, and then he took off. I'm a police officer. Right. I'm trained. And that was scary for me and my family. Mm-hmm. So road rage has gotten out of control, and we have to do our best to get it under control. So anytime we get those calls, we get out there immediately and we investigate. We have numerous ways of looking into trying to figure out what that vehicle was, because a lot of times they'll do, be it assault or try to cause a person to run off the road. So we have ways of kind of detecting those vehicles, cameras, LPRs, and our detectives will follow those up. And we've had some good success over the last year in tracking those down and persecuting those personnel.
Yeah, it's so important. And in addition to the vehicle being a weapon, right, and that's a great example that you used, sometimes there are actually weapons in the vehicle. And I know we've had some reports in the media about that. That takes it to a whole nother level.
Yes, Chrissy. Unfortunately, we did. And just last year in the summertime at the Bay Bridge, we had a road rage incident. And an individual produced a gun, fired it 3 times, and then took off. Fortunately, no one was struck. No one was injured. But through the investigation, we were able to locate this individual, bring him to justice, and real soon, he's going to get his taste of justice, mm-hmm. the Maryland Transportation Authority way. And the reality is we have to, anytime we have a situation like that, we have to follow it all the way through. We can't let that linger out there. When people understand that if you do these things, you will be prosecuted to the utmost of the law, that will cause people to think twice. This individual was careless, and he could have caused harm to you could have been in that traffic.
That's right.
And we have to get that message across as strongly as we possibly can.
Well, certainly appreciate that. You talked about LPRs or license plate readers, and that ability to really identify a vehicle is what the plate was intended for. I know now we have all these colorful plates and people like to, you know, display things that are important to them. But really for law enforcement, that plate is about identification and knowing who's behind the wheel and who owns the vehicle. But I know that there's sometimes challenges in that people either put covers on the plates, they try to make them unreadable, or maybe the plates are just old and they don't take advantage of our programs to get new plates. Can you talk about that and some of the challenges?
Yes, in law enforcement, if you hinder our ability to identify, that puts us at a real disadvantage. So, and those who are out there trying to do harm or doing things illegally, they know and understand that. So they'll put those barriers in front and use covers that you can't read, that when you're going through the toll, it can't read that, and then that's revenue that's being lost as well. So you got to hit that from different fronts. And, you know, there's some legislation in now that they're looking at that, and as far as the obstruction of the license plate. But it's funny, yesterday I was talking to one of the officers who is very deeply involved in traffic safety, and he told me that he is seeing now on social media, there's actually a spray that you can spray the license plate and they cannot be read.
Wow.
Technology is moving so fast, but it's moving fast for the criminal-minded person as well. So it's this arms race to keep up with the latest and greatest. So when they're able to obstruct attacks, it limits our ability to identify, it limits our ability to actually find these vehicles, and that puts us at a real disadvantage. So having tags that are clearly legible and readable is the crux of what we do. And if you take that ability away, you put us at a disadvantage. And there's a lot of people that's going to be able to do things that are detrimental to society and get away with it. So it's of the utmost, and hopefully legislators understand that as well.
Yeah, so really your whole focus is keeping the public safe. So people who are making it more challenging for you to do your job are really going against the public safety and the ability to keep us and our families safe, which I know is everybody's real goal here. You've talked a lot about your structuring, your traffic safety unit. Can you go into that a little bit more? You said traffic safety is the core focus of what you want to do, and I think that's so important.
Absolutely. So ironically, the beginning of 2025, and I told you about the pillars that the agency has for 2025 traffic safety. And in doing so, we did some reorganization. So we had an ops support section, and that ops support section is now transitioned, and we've changed some things around. We've changed some names. We got the ACE team now, our alcohol enforcement team. We have a Viper team now, and they do a lot of the traffic safety type initiatives, as well as the educational piece, and really focus on the aggressive driving on 95 specifically. So we've changed some things around to put us more on the forefront of traffic safety, especially in our areas of responsibility. But with that also comes a change in thought process. So sometimes you can become lax every day doing the same thing all the time. And what I've seen in 2025, we've started this synergy as we created some of these new units and young officers wanting to be a part of it. And that just does the officers and society as a whole just phenomenal, because now you have people who are even more engaged than they were, especially when you take an officer who's on patrol all the time and given the opportunity to be in a specialized unit, can call the shots a little more. And then they're just a little more open to be themselves and actually go out there and do work. And it's phenomenal what's happening now. So I've seen an uptick agency-wide the first quarter of this year than last quarter. And already it's paying dividends because people are excited.
That's great.
And when you start that excitement, you can really, really get some things done. So what we do, it's not the most glamorous job, but it's a job that has to be done. And when you do it and you have fun doing it, that's just plus. So I'm more than happy as the chief of police of what I'm seeing in these first 3 months.
That's really wonderful to hear. And, you know, I love talking to officers who have that dedication for traffic enforcement, because they are keeping the public safe. You know, it might not be glamorous. It's tough work. They're out there day and night in all kinds of conditions. But to see that passion for safety, they understand it comes right back to their family and want to keep their family safe on the roads. And I love to see that. And I think MDT has always had a great presence in terms of our traffic safety specialist program. So I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that, because most folks probably don't know about it, but it's so important in terms of training the officers, giving them the tools they need when they're out on the road in these difficult conditions.
Correct. And as you know, and you're fully aware, the traffic safety specialist, MDTA, I'm so proud. We got 235 officers that are traffic safety specialists. 235. Our agency is 249 total.
That's incredible.
Incredible. But these are all officers who are committed to traffic safety. And then we have five that have the TS2 designation, and we have one that I'm so proud of that has the TS3 designation. And he received that designation last year.
Right.
And actually this year, he will be speaking at the TSS luncheon in April, and I will be there speaking as well. So we get it, our officers get it, and the training that they have to go through just to get those designations, they're willing to do that because they understand it's the bread and butter of what we do. So I could not be more proud of as a chief of police, and I would kind of nudge other chiefs of police and see what their numbers are as well.
I like that.
I'm not trying to get cocky, but yes.
Well, it takes leadership. And so I also have to commend you and give kudos to you, because it's your leadership telling your officers that this is important to you. This is a core principle, you know, one of your pillars as you set out. So I think that is so important, and leadership's important. So let's encourage others to join in that effort.
Absolutely.
Speaking of leadership, you're approaching 1 year as chief of police in May. That is a big milestone. And I know it's been a very eventful year, coming right on the heels of the tragic incident we had with the Key Bridge. Talk about some of the moments that you've had over last year, some of the lessons learned as you kind of reflect back in that first year in the role.
So I'll say this, being a chief of police, and MDTA Police is the eighth largest law enforcement agency in the state of Maryland. And being a chief of police, you have to be able to, number one, take the good with the bad, and understand as the head, you have to give clear direction and guidance, because the troops are looking for you to lead. And if you're not sure on the direction you want to go, then they're left their own devices. So what I found out is, as you said, May of last year, I was awarded or given the opportunity to be the chief of police of the Maryland Transportation Authority. I accepted that without a doubt. But with that, we were halfway in the year, and we were right off of the heels of the Key Bridge collapse. So there was a lot of time when you just have to deal with that issue. Mm-hmm. Going into 2025, I got my second win. And in December, I brought these seven pillars. And we are knocking these pillars out. And when you give people clear direction, they understand. And I'm watching, as I said before, a synergy that's developing that is phenomenal. And I get an opportunity to say that organization that went through that have transitioned. We've made our adjustments. We're moving forward. And guess what? We have things in the forefront of our mind, i.e. traffic safety, which is the core of who we are and what we're responsible for. And we're doing those to the utmost of our ability. And we're doing it, and we're having fun doing that. Mm-hmm. So lessons learned for me is understanding people are always watching. Mm-hmm. And you have to give them the tools, the desire, and encouragement to be the very best they can be. One of the things I started doing last year in the academy class, so I get an hour every month to go in and talk to the academy class during their eight-month academy. And what I consider myself doing there is I'm infusing in them my vision. So they get a chance to hear from me every month. There's officers out there on the street that don't get that chance. But I take an opportunity to give them the best start possible. And when they leave there, they already know who I am. They already know what my thought process is. They already know what's important. They already know the mission. And that gives them the ability to go out and say, well, I appreciate that. I know exactly what it is. And it gives them a little more momentum. I like to call it the wind beneath their wings to kind of push them. So we get ready to have this next academy class start April the 2nd. And I will be doing the same thing for this academy class as well.
That's awesome. And you mentioned this is the largest class you've had in many years.
25 years, man.
That says that you're doing something right.
Yes. And law enforcement, it went through a little, you know, rough patch. And there were some incidents that happened around the country that caused to kind of give us a black eye. But I think the pendulum is swinging back now. And law enforcement, I always had a positive view from the public for the most part, but now I think we're getting back to that once again, and people are feeling that and want to be a part of that.
That's great. And I know you've always been a strong advocate for community engagement in law enforcement. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that, because I think it speaks to that respect, that confidence that the public has in law enforcement, which is so important.
Absolutely, Chrissy. So I come from a background of service, and it's what I do. It's what I do even outside of here. It's the things I do in the community, so on and so forth. So I bring that, and MDTA Police, we've always had a pretty robust community engagement unit, for lack of a better term, and here in the last 2 years, we've kind of ramped that up. We've gotten some real communication and some real relationships we developed with the community where we're at, the Turner Station community, and to the point where we've been invited to certain events, services. March of last year, this is ironic, March of last year, the beginning of March, I'm going to say 2 weeks before the Key Bridge incident, I was invited to speak at a church in Turner Station, and the MDTA police came. It was Civil Engagement Sunday, and it was a phenomenal service where we were able to be there and engage with the community, and they could see us in our human form. That's huge. Sometimes you look at someone in a uniform and you put them in a category, but it's hard to put them in a category when you've talked to them, spent time with them, shared with them, cried with them, laughed with them. So that's a big part of what we're doing in the coming years. And actually, there's a service over at that church again next week, which we'll be attending as well. But when you do things like that and a catastrophic event happens, right away, the members of the community are calling me because we have those relationships. And I can help calm the fears as we go through this process together.
I think that's wonderful. And if you think about it, probably a lot of young people in that audience who saw the example of law enforcement and look up to that and hopefully one day aspire to also be officers and make a good impact in their community as well.
That's a side note to all that. Yes, ma'am.
So you shared so much wonderful information about MDTA, but I wonder if you'd like to offer any stories, any anecdotes about the officers who are out there every day protecting Maryland residents. Truly believe they're unsung heroes out there. Their stories don't always get told, but they make such a difference in people's lives. They're out there saving lives, frankly. So I wonder if there's anything you'd like to share about them.
So I'm going to tell you a story that just happened recently, and we gave these two individuals what we call chief salutes for their outstanding service. So there was two officers who, we have a dispatch center, and one of the dispatchers was pregnant and went into labor. Called fire rescue to come, but the officers jumped into action and they took her to the hospital themselves. And I talked to this dispatcher, and she was so excited and happy. The baby was born happy, healthy. Mom and daughter was fine. But these officers just knew, because they said, you know what? That's all well and good, but guess what? I can do this. And they just jumped in. Those are the type of things that I love to see. Because number one, we all want family anyway. And to see officers taking care of the dispatchers, to me, that was just phenomenal. And I can go on and on and on. I talked to a pastor that pastors another church not far from the agency, and she was telling me how she was stopped by one of my officers. And so usually when you hear that, you're like, okay. She said, no, this young man was so professional. Now, she's 70-some years old, older black female, and she said, too, you know, I've had my lack of trust with law enforcement. This gentleman put me at ease.
Nice.
And guess what? I was speeding. See, they're okay with that when you explain it to them, and then they can accept it. You don't have to come with a harsh word. I tell officers all the time, that contact can change someone's life. And if you look at it from that perspective, you can give them the ability to walk away from that and say, you know what? I'm a advocate for you now and not against you. And so stories like that, just I hear them all the time. We have a website that you can send those to. We call them kudos, and we get them regularly, especially with officers at the airport. You go to the airport, you know, you come to pick up a loved one. An officer will stop, see, you know, we got to keep traffic moving without a doubt. But when you have an older woman coming out in a wheelchair, the officer can go and help.
Right.
The human element. Just because we're in this uniform, we're still human, and we need to make sure we portray that. So that's just a few of them, Chrissy, but I hear them on a regular basis, and it just warms my heart as a chief of police.
Well, that's wonderful. Now, I'll add an MBA story to that. You came to our Baltimore City branch office a few weeks back because we had a customer. For those our listeners who don't know, we do have some security from MDTA at our Baltimore City branch office. And unfortunately, we had a customer who had a very serious medical emergency while visiting the MBA. Officers jumped in without any hesitation. And frankly, we believe they saved that individual's life and kept him stabilized until emergency services were able to get there. So just another example you don't think about of how officers can touch somebody's life. And I love the stories that you shared because it's all about that human connection and about us caring for each other. And I think we all need that a little bit more in the world. And so I am certainly grateful to you and your leadership as well as your officers for what they do every day. And thank you really for joining me. It's been a great conversation. I do have one question before we wrap up. We're asking every guest this season to tell us what their favorite Maryland food is. So I'm curious to hear what you like.
Crab cake.
Crab cake.
I love crab cake.
That's
I'm a seafood
favorite.
Yeah, I'm a seafood head. I love seafood. So a nice broiled, I try to stay away from fried, but a nice broiled crab cake is my favorite. And if I can get one of those and a nice Pepsi, I'm good.
I always joke with my colleagues from other states, if I see crab cakes on a menu and it's not Maryland,
don't do it.
It's going to be a hockey puck, not the softball we know as our Maryland crab cakes, right?
You'll be thoroughly disappointed. Yes, ma'am.
Very good. Well, again, thank you so much, Colonel, for joining me today. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I know our listeners have learned something today. I just want to encourage our listeners, as you're out there, as you're interacting with law enforcement, or just driving yourself, please make sure that you're safe behind the wheel. Follow those great tips that the Colonel outlined in terms of keeping your speed down, putting that phone away, making sure you're not distracted. Buckle up every time and be careful out there. We all want you to get home safely. That's our goal, to get home to our families. So thank you for joining us for Conversations with Chrissy. Look forward to seeing you next time. Take care.